Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt. Starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 9th. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast starts us all out. This absolutely fantastic, freedom-loving, faith-filled, fantastic Friday. We had our guest on, Mr. Brian Rust, RustQuinnandGift.com. And over the past 50 years, the Rust family has been helping people understand precious metals. To learn more, to get a hold of your metals, one of the best recommendations Brian has is take possession of your purchase, please. When it's all paper, it means nothing. RustQuinnandGift.com. Honest Money Report, gold was at $1,750. It's down a little bit. Silver, $25.52, but a silver Eagle silver dollar still costs $37. Imagine that. We talked about Uncle Sam moves to control cryptocurrencies. A federal court, believe it or not, authorized the IRS to gather information about cryptocurrency users who may be violating tax laws. The Justice Department announced, and a Massachusetts federal court authorized the IRS to use what's called a John Doe summons clause to go ahead and force companies to turn over information about cryptocurrency users. You buy, you sell, you spend, you whatever. Well, hey, are you violating the law? Are you not paying your taxes? Do you have a lot of cash in Bitcoin or other cryptos? The IRS is asking taxpayers on the 2020 tax filing forms as well whether you received, sold, sent, exchanged cryptocurrencies. Yeah, they sent it to over 10,000 people that are involved in cryptocurrencies who have failed to file the details of their income. The IRS is getting serious as the government takes over crypto. I warned you not to dip your toe in the crypto, ladies and gentlemen. But folks aren't listening to me, but there you go. That was our one Liberty Roundtable Live. We had Kurt Crosby on with me yesterday, too. It was Lowell Nelson's. Brian Rust, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby. And second hour, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby. And we talked about Ivy League organizations. Yeah, they're literally going so far to end racism by promoting racism. Yeah, Ivy League institutions are now going so far to use racism to end racism. Take the prestigious Columbia University, for instance. The school recently announced they will be holding six separate graduation ceremonies based on the ethnicities, race, gender ID, or gender identity, social economic status, and a whole lot more. It's crazy town, folks. They even have a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, whatever you call the thing, transgender graduation, I guess it is. It's insane, folks. I don't know what's going on, but that's what they're doing. Now, believe it or not, it's not just Columbia. Harvard, Stanford, Arizona State University, UC Berkeley, others all having separate graduation ceremonies. What do you call these things? Segregated ceremonies? Yeah, Harvard even has one for illegal aliens. So you got the transgender one, the illegal alien one, the black one, the Asian one. I mean, it's just insanity, folks. But grassroots rebellion grows with new calls to ban critical race theory from the military and from public schools, writes the Epoch Times. I'm glad there's pushback. So there's a kid. His mom's black. His dad's white. They called him a white kid because he looked white. They forced him to claim he was a racist in the government schools. The mom's suing now. Barack Obama, mom white, dad black, he's black because he looks black. Is it based on your looks? Based on your DNA? Based on your ethnicity? The debate rages on. Critical race theory, ladies and gentlemen, CRT, that views all white people as racist oppressors and all people of color who are the oppressed thus incapable of being racist. That's the narrative for the critical race theory. Kurt Crosby brought up a 2008 film called Australia. And in that film, they had a term called the creamy people. That's mixed-race children. Ah, sounds racist. Sounds offensive to me. You know what? It sounds just disastrous. Why don't we just act like God's children? Why don't we realize we're all part of the human race? God loves us all. He made us different. We respect that. We understand that. We believe we should celebrate our heritage. Doesn't matter what race you are. Whatever heritage you have, learn about it, celebrate it, share it with others. We can all learn about it. Very unique, very interesting. And can't we just enjoy the differences in us all, but treat us all, treat each other like we're God's children, brothers and sisters of the grand human race who our Father is God Almighty. Yeah, our Savior is Jesus Christ. Why don't we just start there on the freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled Friday, huh? Odds are, by the way, increasing for Donald Trump to become U.S. Speaker of the House in 2022. They say voter turnout would go through the roof, writes Bob Unruh. Crime surges as progressive policies gain ground. The 2021 crime statistics are saying that the news is not good in almost every category. Urban crime and violence is increasing. That's a sad tale to tell, I'll tell you that right now. All right, that's a recap. Without further ado, let's bring on our guest. We're going to talk about religious liberty, and we're going to do it now. Chris Carlson, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Yes, sir, Sam. Good to be back. We've got a lot to
cover today. There's so much to discuss. There's so much to discuss. So little time is kind of the starting point that that I would have. And you and I were just kind of stumbled across the conversation I want to have today. As we were talking about religious liberty and how people are getting shut down in churches, and sadly, you know, it seems like the churches have kind of, in some ways, some of them have kind of turned on their parishioners. It's like, hey, let's not meet, let's not have church, let's not provide leadership, let's force masks, let's force social distancing, let's even possibly require a vaccination card to go to church at all. And some of the things we're hearing from churches, from our leaders, really are shocking to me. And I start out the conversation by going back to the Black Robe Regiment in our founding era. The founding fathers understood the importance of religious education, understanding who we are from a God historical perspective, that God created the earth, so a biblical perspective, if you will. God created male and female, put us on the earth, put us here to learn and to grow and to, you know, respect, and really the measure of a character is how you treat others around you, kind of a thing. Anyway, I go on, except to say that, you know, that was kind of the fundamental understanding of the founding fathers when this nation was put together. And many of them came here seeking religious freedom, jettisoning King George and others who were oppressive. And it was all about saying, listen, we will support your right to believe and think and act and behave as you like. Of course, people were self-governed back then. De Tocqueville went through the country and came back, and his assessment was America's great. Why? Because the people are good. If the people cease to be good, America will cease to be great. Talking about the fundamental morality of the people back then. You know what? They might have had different religions, different beliefs, different political ideologies, but in general, they were good. They lived by kind of the basis of the Ten Commandments. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior for the most part. They even respected those who didn't, by the way, for those naysayers. And they said, you know what? You can believe as you choose. However, we do believe this Judeo-Christian law, the Ten Commandments, is kind of the fundamental basis for a self-governed society. We don't need a whole lot of rules. We don't need the 10,000 governmental commandments. Just a little bit of support from the Ten Commandments and guidance from God, and we need to acknowledge that God is over government. And let's not dip into the keys to theology, but let's start there. That was kind of the founder's view. Let's start there with our own views. You know what? The churches have been alive and well and have played a critical role in America for the last couple hundred years, Chris.
Yes, sir. It has kind of been a long time coming, some of these trends that we're starting to see surface today, Sam. And a little background about me and my family. My family, most of my family, are members of evangelical faiths. And we've gone back and forth over the years about, you know, this point of doctrine and that. And they think I'm a little off track, and, you know, I have a little criticism for what they believe. But Chuck Baldwin, Sam, as we were talking about yesterday, is a keen observer of some of these trends all the way back to the late 70s when he was ordained a minister. I'm not sure exactly what denomination he was affiliated with back then. But he wrote an article called "The Mark of the Beast Runs Through the Church." And I'm just going to read the defining paragraph in that article. He says, "As I have said repeatedly, I will say again, the entire COVID narrative, including mandatory masks, social distancing, forced lockdowns, and now vaccines and vaccine passports, is a totalitarian tool of the spirit of the Antichrist as a launching pad for global enslavement. The entire COVID narrative mirrors to a T the warnings of John the Revelator regarding the identifying marks of the Antichrist." And please refer to, Sam, as you know, is chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. I've got that marked if you want me to read that. Maybe we already know. But in parallel to what, we can read that later, but in parallel to what Ms. Chuck Baldwin says, I have a statement that's very similar to that, and when we get back from the break, we'll
come
back.
All right, let's hang tight. We'll do Chuck Baldwin's statement. We'll do your statement. By all means, have that chapter 13 of Revelations ready. We'll talk about it in detail, ladies and gentlemen. I have a slight difference of opinion, by the way, and all opinions are acceptable on Liberty Roundtable Live as long as we're polite. And, hey, let's be respectful, but let's dig in, shall we? Chris Carlson, my guest, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Chuck Baldwin's incredible column, talking about, you know what, the mark of the beast runs through the church, and really it starts out incredibly talking about vaccinations, and he says, I'll say it once, I'll say it again. You know what, this vaccine scenario, this coronavirus whole scenario, from top to bottom is a satanic lie, is the summary. Chris, let's start there. You are continuing?
Yeah, so he's referring, and a lot of people in Christian denominations, Sam, as you know, are looking at the potential vaccine passport as the number of the beast. Now, they're going to do, the powers that be are going to do everything they can to make it look legit and to make it look unlike what is referred to in Revelations chapter 13, verses 17. I'll go ahead and read that, Sam. And that no man may buy or sell, save he that had the mark,
or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And then it goes on to say it's 666, and I don't know what significance that has. Obviously, nobody's going to get a card that has 666 on it. That'll give it away. But I do agree with Mr. Baldwin. I believe that if we ever do get to the point where, in order to board a plane or to go in public buildings or hold down a job, Sam, I think we'll probably be required to have one of these cards that proves that we were vaccinated, or you know, that we complied with some of the other protocols that they will impose upon us to lead us into a voluntary slave type of system. And I don't doubt that. But having read Chuck Baldwin's statement in his article, Mark of the Beast, Runs to the Church, I would like to read to you, Sam, a statement that I made, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, if you'll recall, in an expose that I wrote concerning the COVID-19 fake pandemic and some of the consequences that we will suffer from it if we don't awaken to a sense of an awful situation. I wrote, Sam, and I'll read it word for word, I believe that it is important to thoroughly establish the fact that the COVID-19 pandemic is being used to fulfill the agenda of the cabal that the prophet Ezra Taft Benson warned us about. And this is a quote from a 1988 October conference talk that he gave. Quote, a secret combination that seeks to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, and countries, unquote. The international response to this invisible enemy is designed to accomplish one thing and one thing only: the enslavement of mankind under a satanic world government. Now, that pretty much parallels, Sam, what Chuck Baldwin said. And a lot of Christians are waking up to that fact, don't you think, Sam? The realization that go ahead, I'm sorry. I just said there, so I thought I'd fill in.
I was just going to say, my statement on this is a little different than Chuck's and yours. I know that it feels like it's the mark of the beast. I know that it feels like it's evil and it's just putting us into a totalitarian, tyrannical regime. I know that it feels like there's no end in sight. However, a slightly different view on this might be, a little different. I know what Revelation says. I've read it. And I know that the mark of the beast will eventually come. However, I imagine something 10 times more sinister than this, because there's a lot of people that won't wear masks. There's a lot of people that won't get vaccinated. Yeah, including yourself. I wear masks on occasion, but very rarely. I'll give you an example. I went into a store the other day, and I didn't wear a mask, and they had a Nazi at the door and said, hey, wear a mask. You got to wear a mask coming here. And I said, I know, you realize it's not the law, right? A governor edict is not the law. He said, I realize that. However, this is a private company, and we've chosen to mandate masks in our store, sir. And so I put on a mask, and I went through the store, did my business, and left as quick as possible. Now, it's debatable if they continue to force masks on us, how long I'll be shopping at those stores. In other words, I'll be picking stores that don't require masks. I'm okay with encouraging masks. I'm against the requirements. But to make a long story short, though, it's true. On their private property, if they choose as a private company to say you're going to wear a mask in my store, they have that right as a private business owner to say that. And so the problem, what I'm trying to get at with this whole thing is there's still too many people that are dissenters in this, whether it be mask mandates, whether it be vaccinations, or whether we get to the mandate point, or whether we get to, I don't know what you call it, but some kind of a passport or whatever. There's still too much pushback. There's too many people in the nation that are going to oppose that. You got state governors now backing away and saying, wait, we've gone too far. You've got, and so I don't know that this is the quintessential discussion point. Certainly, it's a precursor to something bigger and something more definitive and more sinister, no doubt about it. I'm not saying that it's good, and I'm not defending the practice in any way. I guess I'm saying we need to be very careful with prophecy, not to jump to conclusions just because it reads like it. There's a lot of times where we think we've lost a lot of liberty, and we have, but we then jump to the conclusion that we have no liberty left, that we have no pushback, that the people have no say, that we've already lost the game. Hey, put away your marbles because the game's over. And I guess I'm just saying I don't go as far as to say that. I'm not putting away my marbles.
Nor do I, Sam. I mean, I've lost. No.
So it's not over. I mean, we're not in a tyrannical state, Chris. We're in a liberty state with some smatterings of tyrannical intentions happening now. But you know what? The federal government gets too out of control, and Americans wake up enough, and they could change the narrative tomorrow. Understand, in 6 years, you could replace your whole Senate and your whole House of Representatives three times. You could literally jettison most of your government legislative body. The American people haven't even begun to wake up and push back. But by our greater numbers, can we have success? So do I think that this is not a good sign? Of course. Do I think that the stopping of religious worship in America was a good thing? Absolutely not. I think it smacks of tyranny. But I think God is giving us a precursor warning saying, folks, you can wake up and do something about this. And whether I agree with the tenets of Chuck's column completely or not, the point that he's saying is we got to wake up, and that was your point as well. I completely agree. Chris?
Yeah, so just as a full disclosure, I'm enjoying as much prosperity, as much freedom, as much liberty as I've ever enjoyed. Now, I see signs of that changing in the near future, and for a lot of people, it has changed, specifically for people who work for the government, who work for large corporations, who have a very oppressive mask policy, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not going to wait until it affects me in a dramatic way before I take action and start warning the people. So, and it could be a virulent strain, a mutant strain, and they're already talking about strains coming from Europe, strains coming from Africa that are just a little different, that are probably, who knows if they're biologically engineered or not. Whatever the case, they're going to use it as an excuse to reimpose strict lockdowns, or this may just be a trial run for them to do something more drastic in the future. Or maybe they've got another virus. You know, Fauci's talking about this, you know, that there may be another completely different virus that is even worse than the one where it's presumably, obviously, you know, it's more made up than real. So we don't know, but we need to condition people to respond in a way that promotes freedom rather than just complies with the tyrannical authority, because the more accustomed we get to that, Sam, the easier it will be in the future to impose more restriction on those, whatever they may look like. So the fear is creating a paradigm shift in the minds of the American people that will allow the powers that be to continue to oppress us and to continue to acclimate us and to habituate us to more strict and oppressive measures. So that's my concern.
I understand. I think the concern is justified for sure. So let me ask the quintessential question, and then we'll kind of dig into that right after the pause, because the break's coming up here in a minute. But here's the question that I would have. I agree with you completely that, you know what, Fauci's planning for things much more worse. We know the history of out-of-control belligerent governments, and they've certainly taken advantage of power grabs and never let go, and they continue to increase their lording over the people. There's no doubt about that, and those things are to be seriously, seriously watched, and we need to seriously push back against that. I agree. So here's the fundamental question. How do we awaken the people to the sense of their awful situation, which we're not debating exists? But how do we wake the people up to that without ourselves overreaching, meaning making the statement so bold, so definitive, so, hey, tyranny's coming, the mark of the beast is here, you're going to be completely shut down, you know, and then later when, hey, masks come off for the most part, people start going back to events and church and services, and life changes slightly, but primarily comes back to the way it was for the most part. I mean, they're starting to even meet in stadiums now. So I'm not fending the status quo, but what I'm trying to get across is, how do we make sure we do not overreach? In other words, make the statement so dire that when people don't see it happen, they basically think we've been proven wrong, and they jettison our advice and our opinions, pitch us as wackos, extremists, altogether, so we don't even have a say or an influence in education anymore. How do we prevent that while making the case? Quick pause. Chris Carlson on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A day of mourning in the United Kingdom. Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, has died at the age of 99. Daily Mail reporter covering the royals tells Fox News Prince Harry will surely be at the funeral.
I would absolutely expect Prince Harry to be there. I mean, you know, given that the pandemic is still going on and restrictions in the UK are quite serious, we don't know exactly what that will look like, but I do think that he will move heaven and earth in order to make sure that he will be there, certainly for the funeral. And the important thing is that the royal family is able to come together, support one another, and collectively mourn the loss of their patriarch.
The prince died Friday morning at Windsor Castle. President Biden's gun control measure is starting to take shape.
This is an epidemic, for God's sake, and it has to stop.
Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert suggested Thursday that President Biden is a tyrant after he argued the Second Amendment was not absolute. USA Radio News.
Woke culture. It's choking America, erasing our history, threatening our freedoms, our laws, and even our police. Now, Grant Stinchfield exposes the secret woke agenda and the hidden players behind this very dangerous movement. Watch Stinchfield tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on Newsmax TV as he reveals the real dangers to you and your family. Everyone is talking about Stinchfield because each night he gives you the cold, hard truth you need to know. Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable news channel on all major systems. If you don't get it, call your cable operator. Tell them you want Newsmax or you'll switch. Remember, you can get Newsmax free on Roku, YouTube, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, and smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, Vizio, or LG. It's even free on your smartphone. Just download the free Newsmax app and start watching. So find out about woke and its dangerous plans for America on Grant Stinchfield tonight. Just tune into Newsmax TV. It's real news for real people.
The 7-year conflict between Russia and Ukraine is front and center as peace talks break down. There's reports of a Russian military buildup along the 250-mile contact line. U.S. warships may sail into the Black Sea to show a support for Ukraine. John Clements from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The Pentagon is said to be considering a deployment of U.S. Navy warships into the Black Sea as Russia continues its buildup of troops along Ukraine's eastern border. Washington would first have to get permission from Turkey 14 days in advance under a 1936 treaty because Ankara controls the Straits of the Black Sea. During the last Pentagon briefing, spokesman John Kirby left little doubt concerning the U.S. support for Ukraine.
We pledge publicly to standing up and supporting the territorial integrity of Ukraine and calling on Russia to respect that territorial integrity.
At least 27 Ukrainian soldiers have been killed in the conflict this year. USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so my guest, Chris Carlson, the quintessential question. So how do we state the case that, you know what? Chuck's right, they're building the foundation for a tyranny. Chuck's right, they want to move towards the mark of the beast and absolute ultimate control. Chuck's right, this is not good, and they're using the false pandemic lies to peddle their tyranny porn, if you will. People are loving it, lapping it up, having a good time. They don't realize the danger. There's no question about all that. But when we warn, when we set the alarm bells off, when we educate towards the truth, how do we prevent an overreach where when life gets, for the most part, back to fairly normal on this trial balloon, if you will, then they go, you know what, Sam and Chris, you guys said that it was the end of the world, and it's not, buddy. You guys have become naysayers and lost all your credibility. Because I believe that these rounds, every time they move one of these rounds of a crisis, they advance their agenda. There's no doubt about that. But if we're not careful, it reminds me of the doomsday economic scenarios people have pitched for. I've been in radio 25-plus years, and every year they pitch something like this. You know what, we're going to have an October surprise. The economic doom's around the corner. They're going to pull out the rug. We're going down. Well, you know what? It's going to happen. There's no doubt fiat currencies fail. Okay, so we're on the true side of history. But if we're not careful and we get ahead of ourselves, our credibility becomes, sadly, the order of the day and becomes a crisis because they look at it and go, you said it was the end of the world, Sam, and now I'm going to football games again, buddy. Come on. What do you? And so we need to be very careful. How do we prevent that, Chris?
Okay, so this was a very delicate process, and when I compiled this expose and I sent a copy to you, I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, you know, I realized that there's a very good chance, Sam, that I could come off as one of these conspiranoids or one of these conspiracy kooks. So what I did is I built an authority. Now, I mentioned President Ezra Taft Benson in October 1988 General Conference of the church that we belong to. He made this statement. It was very important that I start the document with this statement. He said that evil is more highly organized, more cleverly disguised, and more powerfully promoted than ever before. Then he goes on to talk about secret combinations seeking to overthrow our freedom. So immediately people who believe that Ezra Taft Benson was what he claimed to be, which is a prophet, immediately they're going to have to buy into that statement. And I pay more close attention of everything that just read there to the statement where he says more cleverly disguised. Evil is more cleverly disguised. So people say, okay, so it's not going to be obvious. It's something I'm going to have to kind of look for. Maybe it's going to come in through the back door. And then I go on. In my own words, I say, okay, Adolf Hitler under the Nazi regime, he did three things. He did a lot of bad things, but he did three distinct things that people identify as being evil. I said, he burned books, he invaded sovereign nations belligerently, and he killed people, you know, just based on their political orientation or ethnicity or whatever. And I go on to say, guess what? We don't burn books, but we censor websites for violating public standards. We invade sovereign nations just like Adolf Hitler did, but we label it as protecting the world from global terrorism. And we also kill people. We just don't do it before they come out of their mother's wombs. So basically, we're doing the same thing that Adolf Hitler under the Nazi regime did, except because of these clever labels we now attach to them, we're the good guys, and we don't do evil like that those Nazis 75 years ago did. So I start off establishing the fact that some things are more cleverly disguised today, and people cannot dispute that. Well, they can, but hopefully with the way I word it, you know, they see the connection to previous evils. So hopefully at that point they say, okay, well, I'm going to look more carefully for some of the subtleties that the powers that they are using to deceive me. And they go on, and then I go on to talk about the fact that the same people who are so concerned about us getting vaccines and staying in the house so that we don't come in contact with this virus and social distancing, that, you know, they want us to be safe and not die. Yet these same people callously sit by and allow at least 330,000 innocent lives to be slaughtered in their mother's wombs. So I use that as a disconnect to show that these people, if they were really concerned about our health and our safety and our well-being, you know, why on the one hand do they allow 330,000 babies to die a year, and yet they're so concerned about us? So I try to establish the fact that there's a lot of hypocrisy going on here.
And there's no doubt about that. Chuck Baldwin points out the same thing, and I completely agree. There is a lot of hypocrisy. There's a lot of things that don't add up when you really dig into it. Chuck kind of points that out with some of the church leaders. He's saying, look, a five-year-old can realize these experimental vaccines aren't good. Why can't the church leaders understand this as well? And, you know, it's the nature of people to be trusting. And too trusting, I might add. Yeah. Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. Modern-day folks like Scott Bradley and others are saying, hey, let's not trust, but let's verify before we believe anything these clowns say. I agree with the whole narrative, and I agree with the point that this is serious. I don't want you to think that I'm laughing it off or thinking it's not a big deal. I just think we need to be very careful. We have a really serious, this is the financial world term, but it might make sense for you. We have a fiduciary responsibility to really tell the truth. Okay, we can't be like the mainstream press people, the clowns that lie to everybody all the time and, you know, peddle fake news. We can't be those people. But we also can't take our side of the discussion and paint it so dire, so extreme, so direct, so definitive that there's no room for change. I've mentioned before, you know, when 9/11 happened and some of these other crises we've experienced where they've really taken away a lot of liberty under the guise of these catastrophes, et cetera, or these, you know, horrific events and all that kind of stuff. You know what? people turned to God back in 9/11. A short period of time for the most part, maybe, but even people who would shock you turned to God and said, look, we need protection. We need to turn to God. They're not doing that this time. And so the problem becomes, you know what? Government is a society mirror of the people, a societal mirror of the people. And I look at it now, and even when governments are starting to take their hands off, a lot of these companies are voluntarily saying you will wear masks. Airlines are saying you will show a vaccination card. And so a lot of this is happening in the private sector. And you're not going to have liberty when the people literally are voting for tyranny by their actions. And so that's kind of the problem that I see, is we're not being led into this by the nose with people who, you know, are deceiving the people as much as the people are buying the lies. Yeah, they're being deceived, but they're embracing and emboldening the lies. When a company looks at me and says, you're right, there is no law, I don't care, you're still wearing a mask in my establishment. You know, I want to push back against people like that and say, you know what? You're right. You have the right to do what you want with your private property. But I have the right to encourage everybody I know never to go to your establishment again. And that's kind of where we're starting to end up, is a continued divide in America. When I make that choice, though, another division happens. And if we're not very careful, we become the fulfillers of our own demise if we're not very, very careful, Chris. So that's why I give the warning, because when I pick up this microphone, I believe I have a serious responsibility to make sure that what I say is credible, what I do makes sense. I don't disagree with Chuck's quintessential point, which is, hey, guys, you're being deceived, and we expect the pastors to at least tell the truth. Hey, get out of the churches where the leaders aren't telling the truth. The problem is that truth is very elusive in terms of how far to go, what it means, what people's hearts and minds really think. How many of these leaders truly believe that the pandemic is real, or that it's a bigger threat than we think it is? How many people of these leaders are getting guidance from God different from what you and I might see or believe? They may be genuine in their hearts, right? And just because we disagree and we don't see how they could not know, if we're not careful, we heap unwarranted criticism on them too, if we're not careful, right? Your thoughts?
Yes. Yes. And I would dare say, Sam, you brought up a point that is very relevant to this discussion. And the fact is, I would dare say 95 to 98% of our leaders have really bought into this pandemic and really bought into this vaccine. So I don't fault them too much, except for the fact that if they're in tune with their conscience, if they're in tune with God's Holy Spirit, they will come to the realization that something just doesn't add up here. And you talked about, you know, it's more businesses, it's more private industry that's imposing these restrictions on. And that's just more insidious than if government's trying to impose it upon us. Because Satan, the nature of the adversary is such that he would rather that we lead ourselves into slavery than that we be forced into slavery. And that gives him a greater thrill. Just like, I don't know if you've ever heard of the party joke, where somebody's at a party and they're kind of, they fall asleep on the couch, and you put a dollop of shaving cream in their hand and then tickle their nose. Have you ever heard of that? And then when they go to itch their nose, because you're tickling their nose, they put the shaving cream on their face. We'll talk about that
in
the break.
If we're not careful over this, we're going to get egg on our face, all of us, and that's why we need to be very careful. I got a headline to kind of highlight my point a little bit further that might make some sense to you. Consider as Liberty Roundtable Live continues on your favorite talk station.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson on your radio, a discussion of all things liberty, if you will. His incredible article, More Cleverly Disguised, Christopher C. Carlson. And he talks about secret combinations. You know what? They're deceiving the people. And they are working on rounds and rounds and rounds of taking away our liberties. We want to trade our liberty for security. But the founders warned we'll have neither if we're not very careful. So Christopher Carlson and Chuck Baldwin. Chuck Baldwin wrote an incredible column, The Mark of the Beast Runs Through the Church. And I'm backing away from their statements a little bit in the sense that I want us to be very, very careful. When we have a big microphone, when we have the ability to influence people and provide leadership, we must be very careful of how we wield that microphone or sword of truth, if you will. If we're not careful, we overstate the other side. If we're not careful, we read too much in it. I'm not about to be the guy to interpret the Bible and say, hey, Revelations is coming true before your very eyes. This is the mark of the beast, because I don't know that. I'm not a prophet. What I do know is they're moving towards tyranny, and the warning is wise. The warning is real, and the warning matters. And we ought to take the warning and push back against tyrannical government. We ought to take the warning and prepare individually and as families. There's no doubt about all that kind of stuff, because it's a coming. I don't know when or how in some of these cases, and I've learned early in the game, 20-plus years ago, not to destroy my credibility on the altar of the truth, but maybe the timing's wrong, right? And so there's a headline that I find really interesting, as I mentioned right before the break, Chris Carlson, that, you know what, corporations are doing this. You know what, the government's even backing off, and corporations are stepping up and going, no, we're going to do this. And many of the corporation leaders may be evil as well and be in bed with government on this. Who knows? But here's the headline that I find fascinating. What if I'm a religious leader? I lead a big church of millions, and I know that the mask thing is a fraud. But I also know that fighting against the swamp in government oftentimes becomes futile. And so I don't want you to pick that battle. I don't want you to die on that hill. Because I know it's not the quintessential wind-up scene battle, and I know that it's not the end here. It looks bad, I get it, but at the same time, and so I advise you to just be kind of chill and to power through it and to do what they say, and I kind of just pedal it soft, because I don't want you to die on this hill. And I don't want my comments to become so extreme that you prepare, and then when it winds up to be a big whole lot of somewhat nothing, that you think that I don't know what I'm talking about. All right. Thousands of people have already died after taking the vaccines. That's true. Chuck Baldwin's right. But you know what? Millions have taken the vaccines and they're fine. So we can't die on that hill, because even though the vaccines are a concern, a lot of people believe in them. And a lot of people believe they're safe and effective. And you know what? For the most part, it's a relative discussion, but for the most part, they are safe and effective. So here's the headline to kind of highlight what I'm saying to you. When the American people willingly promote the giving up of their liberty, it's very hard to blame it on government, or it's very hard to say it's tyrannical, because most people are embracing it by their agency, by their choice. Here's the headline. Republicans versus woke corporations, a losing battle. Republicans versus woke corporations, a losing battle. A woke corporation is a corporation that believes global warming is going to destroy us all, that believes climate change is so critical of a crisis that it's more important than invaders from Russia or China or anything else. Okay, a woke corporation is the one that says you're going to wear a mask. We're going to mandate vaccinations. Woke is the term that the liberals use to say, hey, our quintessential issues are being seriously promoted now. And so Republicans against woke corporations, a losing battle, kind of highlights where we may be in America. If Americans aren't educated enough to defend their freedom, religious or otherwise, why as a religious leader would I think that you would embrace me? If I speak out too boldly, you'll just jettison me as a nut. And then where will I be? So how much of this is maybe a greater focus or understanding about where we really are? Chris, is that a fair idea?
It is. And I knew that when I wrote this document and distributed it to every member of my congregation here where I live, I knew that I was going out on a limb. I knew that there was a possibility that maybe the vaccines would be safe. Maybe they were actually telling the truth for once. And those who have perished as a result of taking the vaccines, I mean, it is minuscule. If you look at it statistically, it's like 0.001 out of percent. But the fact of the matter, the foundational principle here, as you pointed out, Sam, is agency. And in other denominations, we call it free will. It's simply the freedom to choose. Are we willing to sacrifice that in exchange for a promise of safety and health and well-being? I'm not, Sam. I may not take the vaccine. I may get the virus. Actually, I've already had it, so I can't get it again. But I may get another strain of the COVID virus, and I may die. But you know what? I'm willing to accept the consequences of my choices. And if I do that, I'm not going to blame anybody but myself. Now, I've calculated that I'm probably a lot safer by not getting the vaccine. And if you want to get it and you survive and you do just fine, that's great. I'm happy for you. I wish the best for everybody. But the more we get accustomed in our minds to submitting to authority that I believe is illegitimate, because you know, the federal government and the state governments, for that matter, shouldn't even have authority in the area of health care. Don't you agree?
Without a doubt. And that's where we need to educate Americans enough to understand we're not going to have liberty if they're not educated enough to jealously self-guard it, right?
Exactly. And once we concede the principles, it's all about principle. To me, this is more about principle than it is about personal health care. And that's why I wrote this. Because once we concede that principle in the area of health care, are we going to concede that principle in the area of personal lifestyle choices? Are we going to concede that principle in the area of religion? In every other aspect of our lives that the federal government or even the state or local government should have no power over. That's what concerns me. The paradigm shift in the mind of human beings that concerns me, Sam. So that's why I'm pushing against this whole thing that government should have authority to make decisions on our behalf. Because if you'll remember, Satan, he not only wants us to make poor decisions, he doesn't mind what decision he makes as long as he's in the driver's seat. Because either decision, good or bad, that we make, that we concede to Satan, gives him greater control. And if we give him the authority to make good decisions down the road, we've also, the corollary to that is we also give him permission to make poor decisions on our behalf. So you understand that principle, hopefully. Hopefully that's the universal Christian principle. It's called free will, freedom to choose in other religions.
And there's no doubt that if you make wrong fundamental choices early, that'll affect your later choices down the road. They always say, hey, a child or a young adult, if you will, that's between, say, 17 and 25, you know, in that time frame, they're going to make some of the most important decisions they'll ever make that'll affect decisions down the road for a lifetime. I think that's true on an internal scale as well. There's no doubt you got to reject Satan's plan and stand for agency and choice. But in order to have agency and choice, you got to have clear understanding of what the options and the consequences really are. And I'm afraid that that's really what is lacking in our society via the media and elsewhere. And I think we need to provide that. Hey, these are the consequences. This is what's happening. Here's where we're going. Here's what we recommend against. And here's why I agree with every bit of you and Chuck's points on that regard. I just think we need to be very careful that we don't overstate it and have people go, yeah, those guys are crazy. Yeah, those guys are, you know, I agree that we shouldn't wear masks, but hey, they're going too far, you know. And so we need to be very careful about educating to this. And I think the most important piece of this that we've kind of left out is this. What happens when the people choose wrong? What happens when the people embrace tyranny and trade their security for, or their liberty for security, and they wind up with neither? What happens to historical societies that do that? And the answer is, it's not fun. But the faithful turn to their God, and he does care for them and look out for them and shepherd them through these kinds of ill-fated or ill-gotten scenarios, Chris.
He does. And you become closer to God. You make mistakes. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. The most perfect human beings on this earth, nobody's perfect except one, have made those mistakes. And those indelibly imprint themselves on your consciousness so that you don't make them again. And you know why you don't make them again. It's not like I'm doing this because some government authority told me to do that. Other than that, I have no idea why I'm doing it. I would rather have experienced the consequences of poor actions so that in the future, I know in my mind why I don't make that same mistake again. Then you become an individual sovereign, or a sovereign individual, I guess would be the more correct way to put it. Because you look at God and all of his attributes, one of his most remarkable attributes, Sam, is sovereignty. I mean, he's in complete control of himself and the universe that he created. And if we're ever going to become happier than we are today, we're going to have to come closer and approach and hopefully someday achieve that level of sovereignty ourselves. And the only way we do it is through the ability to maintain freedom of choice. And if that's ever lost, if we ever voluntarily relinquish that because of the choices we make politically and, you know, in terms of obeying illegitimate authority, then we sabotage our own personal potential progress. And that's not a good place to be.
There's no doubt about that. My statement to end the program this hour is this: Jesus Christ is alive. He does love us. He is our Savior. He is aware of us and mindful of us, and he is going to come again. And I believe that all these experiences that we're talking about and experiencing in life and in society now is to prepare the way for the Savior Jesus Christ to return. And he is certainly trying his people and preparing his people, like the 10 virgins is the example I would give. He is preparing his people to welcome him and welcome his return. The question is, will we be among those who are the wise virgins? Are we the ones who will be prepared to meet our God? And as we go through this refiner's fire process to get there in preparation, are we taking the cues that God is giving us? Are we making the choices and decisions that will prepare us as a people, as individuals, as married couples, as families, a fundamental unit of society, families, based on male and female created them, and one man, one woman marriages? Are we preparing ourselves as individuals and families and followers of Christ to truly meet our King when he returns? And I think all things are pointing to that occurrence, and all things are in preparation for that eventuality to occur. And when it does, for me personally, it will be a glorious day. And for me personally, all these preparedness realities that we're facing only refines my character and my desire to educate, to encourage, and to help a people be prepared. You got 20 seconds. Final word's yours, Chris.
And I'm willing to stake my life, liberty, and sacred honor on that prospect, Sam, that you ended with. Heavenly Father loves us. He loves us enough to allow us to go through trial and error, make mistakes, and pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and say, hey, I learned through that experience. Nobody told me to do that but myself. Now I know why I will not do that again in the future. And
all right, for Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson, it's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for being alongside with the ride. LovingLiberty.net, LibertyRoundtable.com. For Sam and Chris, God save the Republic of the United States of America.